President Trump fired the Inspector General for the State Department on Friday. Trump says Secretary of State Mike Pompeo recommended the move. Pompeo is reportedly being investigated by that Inspector General for potential misuse of government funds and his handling of an arms deal with Saudi Arabia that had lacked congressional approval. Last month, the president got rid of two other inspectors general and removed an official who was slated to oversee $2 trillion of funding in the Phase 3 coronavirus relief bill. The president says the firings came because he lost confidence in those investigators, but others worry that the moves could have a chilling effect on inspectors general being able to effectively monitor for signs of corruption. Danielle Bryan is executive director of the Project on Government Oversight, an independent nonpartisan watchdog group that investigates waste and fraud and abuse of power. Danielle, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you start us off by talking about the role of these inspectors general? What are they doing? Why are they there?
They were created in the post-Watergate and post-Church Committee era. Remember, that was a committee that was looking into the abuses by the FBI and other places in the 1970s. And there was a real sense that we needed to have independent watchdogs at the agencies who were both reporting to the head of the agency, but also to the Congress if there is any wrongdoing or misconduct.
Well, let's talk about this particular State Department Inspector General, Steve Linnick. What have you seen in this firing? What was he investigating? What are your concerns about his removal?
Well, as you led up to this story, part of the problem here is that this is one example of a pattern of behavior that President Trump has been exhibiting in retaliating against people who are investigating people in his administration. And it goes completely counter to our system of checks and balances. In this particular case, Pompeo surprisingly admitted that he asked for his internal watchdog, this inspector general, to be fired. He claims now that he didn't know he was being investigated, and the only reason he asked for him to be fired was that he was sort of getting in his way, which frankly is not very persuasive. But the bottom line is what was in fact happening was not only an investigation underway into both Secretary of State Pompeo and his wife misusing diplomatic security for personal errands, but perhaps more substantively important, misconduct in the Secretary of State's handling of an arms sale to Saudi Arabia. Those are really important matters for an IG. They're kind of bread and butter for an inspector general to be looking into misconduct by the most senior person in the agency. And that's why their role is unique in government, in that their job, if they do it well, is to do things that are politically dangerous. And that's why it's so important for them to be protected from this kind of retaliation.
Let's take a listen to President Trump speaking yesterday about the firing when he was asked about it by reporters.
I don't know. I don't know anything about him other than the State Department and Mike in particular. I guess they weren't happy with the job he's doing or something. So because it's my right to do it, I said, sure, I'll do it. I've gotten rid of a lot of inspector generals. Every president has. I think every president has gotten rid of probably more than I have.
Is it routine for presidents to remove inspectors general?
No. So this is not to say that IGs on occasion should be removed for misconduct themselves. You know, they're human beings and sometimes they're not doing a good job. But when the system works well, it is typically because of a congressional investigation into wrongdoing by the IG. And then both the Congress and the president will agree that that IG should withdraw from that position. This has really only happened once in the very beginning of the Obama administration, where he removed an IG and also sort of inadequately notified the Congress, by the way, I've lost confidence, which is exactly what President Trump has done, but didn't give a good reason. In that time, when Obama did it, the Congress was really sort of ferocious in its pushback, demanded a very explicit explanation from the president, and within a week, President Obama did provide that to the Congress. We've had none of that here. We've had sort of tepid responses by the Congress, and they have asked the president for an explanation, both for this removal, but for the earlier removal of the intelligence community Inspector General Mike Atkinson, and he's frankly ignored them. He hasn't responded.
Talking to Danielle Bryan, Executive Director of the Project on Government Oversight, about inspectors general and the firings thereof in the Trump administration. Danielle, as you mentioned, President Trump has cited a loss of confidence now in these inspectors general. What usually constitutes grounds for removal?
Well, this has been a longstanding worry of my organization, POGO, in that there isn't explicit in the law a protection for inspectors general that they can only be removed for cause. And that this is the problem, that it doesn't actually provide, the Congress has not yet provided to inspectors general the kinds of protections they've needed. It's really just been the norm that presidents knew that it was sort of crossing a line that was dangerous to do it, and so they haven't until now done that. My only hope is this sort of ongoing and increasingly brazen behavior by the president with regards to IGs can only finally embolden the Congress to take this step and pass a law that will prohibit the president from doing that.
Yeah, your organization is calling for Congress to do that, and I gather that the last time they addressed these laws, it got about halfway there, these increased protections for inspectors general. Can you take us through the history of that?
Yes. In 2008, the Congress, the House, passed legislation that would require a president to have to identify the cause that requires the removal of the IG. And there was an enumerated list. I think there were eight of, you know, clear misconduct, clear behavior unbecoming of a federal official, and that passed the House but did not pass the Senate. And so we've been, you know, trying now for over a decade to accomplish this goal. And the only thing I can hope is that now people are paying attention again why we need to have this. You know, the fact that the president is pretty obviously retaliating against against these inspectors general for doing their jobs well. I'm hoping that Congress will see that these IGs also are working for the Congress. Remember, while they're members of the executive branch, but they are in this unusual dual-hatted role where they also report directly to the Congress. And as Congress has increasingly been incapable of conducting oversight on its own, it has been relying on these IGs to help them get information, get them documents about the operations of the executive branch. And not standing by their side now is actually going to be hurting the Congress as well.
Some of what we've heard from Secretary of State Pompeo and State Department leadership is that this particular inspector general, in effect, Steve Linnick, wasn't a team player. And it seems like the job of the inspector general is specifically to not be a team player within the organization. Can you talk about that?
I mean, that's such a ridiculous statement. You don't want a team player as the inspector general. The idea is for them to be the junkyard dog who doesn't do their job to make friends. They do their job to uncover and deter wrongdoing. And if they do their jobs well, they don't make a lot of friends. So these statements continue to underscore the problem. It's clear that this administration doesn't even understand the purpose of independent oversight.
We continue our talk with Danielle Bryan, Executive Director of the Project on Government Oversight, looking at President Trump's firing of the State Department Inspector General, who is reportedly investigating Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on a couple different issues. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about how this kind of oversight from inspectors general works? Is this important to you that there is this oversight over the executive branch, whoever occupies the White House at the current time? How much explanation should a president have to give to dismiss these officials, and should Congress step up protections? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Lucas is with us in Madison. Lucas, hi.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what'd you want to bring up, Lucas?
I wanted to ask, with bringing up protections, Congress passing a bill, if in 2008 when it passed the House but not the Senate, do we see a lot of political lines on why this can't get through Congress?
Interesting. Was this a partisan obstacle, Danielle?
At the time, it was during President Bush's administration, and it was also a Republican administration, I mean, a Republican Senate. And so it's true that at that time, the problem they had was that they didn't want to limit their president. And so you see similar, situation now. But I think that the fact that there is an increasing number of Republican senators who have publicly expressed discomfort with what's happened, I think that it may be that these steps have been so brazen and sort of beyond what they see as beyond the pale that it may not just be a replication of what happened before. But maybe I'm just being a Pollyanna.
Lucas, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Danielle, I wanted to get into one particular important realm of oversight here. We have the congressionally passed economic recovery money out there administered through the executive branch, this fire hose of money, $2 trillion, changes at the last minute in the oversight team. The inspector general who was going to chair that got kind of replaced and thus bumped off the committee. What kind of oversight do you want to see on this economic relief spending?
Well, I think that what happened with that bumping off is worth a little more detail to explain to your audience, because that was in some ways a particularly gratuitous attack on oversight. What happened there was the person who was appointed to run the oversight committee of inspectors general was himself in the acting role at the Pentagon. And what the president did was he nominated someone to be permanent in that position, which is normal, and that's sort of the way things are supposed to be. But he could have left that person, his name is Glenn Fine, in the acting role pending the confirmation of his nominee and let him take on the role of overseeing the committee. But he removed him as acting and put in the existing EPA IG to now also run the Pentagon IG's office. And so it was very clear that move was only to undermine the Council of IGs that was gathered together to start running the oversight of the pandemic. So I was very alarmed about that. I have to say that the Council of IGs is moving forward despite that undercutting, and I really have a sense that they're trying to do their best. But there's another thing that's going on now that's perhaps even more problematic, which is OMB, which is a part of the executive branch that gives guidance to all the agencies on what they're supposed to do, told all the agencies not to worry about collecting additional information from recipients of all these funds that you're describing. And because of that, the agencies are not going to be collecting any employment information. So in other words, the people who are getting all these SBA PPP loans are not currently reporting back whether they're keeping their employees or they're bringing them back on. So we're not even going to be able to meet the purpose of the law, which is to require a sense that, you know, is this money actually helping the tragic unemployment around the country? So that is maybe if there was a message for you to be telling your members of Congress, the Wisconsin delegation, it's that all of the agencies need to immediately be requiring that we collect this data from the recipients so we know whether jobs are being saved or not.
Another concern people have had about this money is making sure that it isn't being used in fraudulent ways or taken advantage of. I know there have been concerns about criminal rings trying to tap into the additional unemployment money, things like that. Is this something that data, like you were just talking about, that Inspector General oversight might help to detect and or prevent?
Absolutely. Part of the goal of really robust oversight is to deter that kind of fraud and misconduct. There's no doubt that there are fraudsters all over the country who are setting up fake companies and claiming they have employees and trying to get access to these funds. And if they knew that there was, you know, a real cop on the job who was making sure that wasn't going to happen, it would help to deter a lot of that misconduct. Unfortunately, right now, these people are somewhat working with their one arm tied behind their back because they're having so much hostility, frankly, to oversight by the White House.
Let's bring on another caller now. Irene is with us in Janesville. Irene, hello.
Hello. I read in the paper that here in Janesville that the person who was just fired as Inspector General was also about to complete an investigation about Trump selling arms to Saudi Arabia. And he had just about completed that investigation. I wonder if that would make a difference.
Irene, thanks for the call. And thanks for the call, Irene. And Danielle, we had alluded to that. Can you spell that out a little more for us?
Yes. So at the request of the House Chairman of Armed Services, of the Foreign Relations Committee, this state inspector general had initiated an investigation into whether the administration was improperly fast-tracking an arms sales to Saudi Arabia, despite over objections of Congress. And the caller, Irene, is exactly right that we are now learning that he was at the final stages of that, of concluding that investigation when the president removed him.
Thanks for that call, Irene. We're talking to Danielle Bryan, Executive Director of the Project on Government Oversight, about the role of inspectors general and the recent firings of inspectors general by President Trump. Danielle, with these inspectors general being fired and maybe concerned about investigations in the future, if they're sticking their necks out, do you see an enhanced role for Congress now in picking up some of the job that the inspectors general might have been doing?
Well, you make a really good point that when you look at the other people who haven't yet been fired, all incentives are for them to keep their heads down, right, and not do a really good job, because they're human beings and they're looking at their colleagues who are getting picked off one by one if they do anything that the president notices and doesn't like. So the first problem we have is it's not just the people who have been removed, but what is the damage that's being done to the dozens of other inspectors general across all the other agencies? So there's that. And then on top of it, I would say the problem is, yes, of course, Congress should be stepping up and doing more of their own work. But that is a whole separate conversation for us to have in another half hour on the problems of Congress really being able to get the documents or information they require. And they, frankly, have largely depended on IGs for that work. So I think the place where the Congress really needs to step up is in passing legislation that will protect IGs from these kinds of retaliatory removals.
Big picture, I imagine an inspector general is not going to be a popular figure in any administration, Democratic or Republican. And I know there have been tensions in the past, even under the Obama administration. What would you like to see the attitude be toward inspectors general from a president, from key players in a White House?
I think if a president could look at an IG with respect and recognize they have to have an arm's length relationship, but that frankly, it is helpful for any president to find out about wrongdoing and correct it rather than it remain, you know, dormant and operating below the surface. So if only they could, you know, it's impossible for any president to know everything that's going on across the executive branch. If they could see them as allies and helping to ensure that there is integrity in their administration, that's the approach. But it is painful, of course, because they're also going to be the bearers of bad news along the way.
As we look forward now, what are you hoping will come out of Congress, as you mentioned, as they start to respond to these firings?
Well, I think the first step is of course, ensuring that a president is limited in his ability to remove an IG only for good cause. That is step one. There also need to be some additional parameters around who really is qualified to be an IG. Some of the people that we're seeing that the president is putting forward as his alternatives are people without adequate experience and without adequate evidence that they know how to remain independent when they're doing their investigations. Some of them are political allies, and those are frankly exactly the wrong kinds of people to be inspectors general.
Time for one more caller. We've got John on the line, I think driving near Wausau. John, hi.
Hi, how's everybody doing today?
Good. What'd you want to ask about, John?
Actually, with the firing of this inspector general, my question is, has anybody been appointed to pick up what he was investigating in and further look into any of the people as well that he may have been investigating, if there's more than one, and see if there was any wrongdoing or finalize anything he may have found out?
John, thanks a lot for that call. Good question, Danielle. If he's fired, what happens to the investigations he was already in the midst of?
It's such a good question. And he has appointed a person, but the problem is the person he appointed is someone from within the State Department who is another political appointee by the president. That's exactly the wrong kind of person to be an IG. And unfortunately, because the table has been set by the president, it's unlikely that any of the new appointees that he's bringing on are going to continue those investigations. But that's exactly a reform that we believe is necessary. In the future, if a president removes an IG, we need to make sure that those investigations continue to their end.
Thanks for the call. And Danielle, thanks so much for being with us today.
This was fun. Thanks for having me.
Danielle Bryan is the executive director of the Project on Government Oversight. She joined us to talk about President Trump's firing of the State Department's inspector general, one of a number of oversight officials removed by the president in the last couple months.